Hello, and welcome to Interview with a Geek. I'm your host, John Knight. On this week's episode, I interview Seattle-based singer-songwriter Jody Ellen and all-around music geek, photographer, makeup artist. The list goes on. Stay tuned and listen to three exclusive tracks from an upcoming solo album.
Please note, this week's program is audio only.
Hey folks, welcome to Interview with a Geek. Tonight we have the very talented Jody Ellen. For some of you, you'll know her from her work with the steampunk band Abney Park. But actually what I'm here to talk to her about primarily tonight is her solo career with her forthcoming album, as of yet untitled. Welcome, Jody. How are you doing tonight?
Hey, I'm doing really well. Thank you. It's been a really nice day. Just hanging out at the house. Yesterday was crazy, but today's been nice.
I've had a similar couple of days. What is the weather out there? You're in Seattle or near Seattle, correct?
Yeah, I'm in Seattle and I'm getting really pissed off that it is still freezing cold. I guess it snowed today.
Oh no.
And I went out for my morning walk and it was freezing and I'm just really ready for summer. I'm tired of it.
Oh wow.
So, it's usually raining.
Yeah, I've got several friends out there and I love to visit the Pacific Northwest and particularly Seattle. I'm actually out here in Indiana right now and enjoying the mid-50s, believe it or not. So, yeah.
Nice.
Strange. Yes, nice. Strange, but nice early spring weather. I'm not complaining. So, here's my first question for you, Jody. First of all, I have to do a disclosure up front to everyone listening. As everyone should know, if you've listened to any of my shows, the people I interview typically I'm a fan of. So, Jody is in this case no exception. I'm a fan of both her individual work, her solo work, as well as her work with Abney Park. I actually got to see them live out in Detroit, or Dearborn, I should say, last year for the first time. A great show. And
Steam Expo, right?
Yes. Yep, Steam Expo. Awesome. Quite fun.
Yeah, we'll be back there this year.
Yay. Hopefully I will be too. It's going to be quite a drive from where I'm at these days, but it's on the agenda.
We'll have to talk later about the milk escapades that went on. I don't know if you know what that is. But
no, I don't, but I will hopefully by the end of the show. The milk escapades. Excellent.
Yeah, just remember that.
The milk escapades. Okay, typing this out. Milk escapades. All right. So my first question for you is, I would say, I don't want to label anyone, but would you consider yourself a music geek?
I would. My phone's ringing. Music is definitely my life, and it's pretty much all I eat, sleep, and breathe every single day, and sometimes it gets exhausting, but I am definitely a music geek.
Okay, well, that leads me into the question, how and when did you get into music, or know that you were into music?
That's fun. I feel like I was always into music. I don't ever remember a time when I was not wanting to be a professional singer. That was the first thing I said I wanted to be when I grew up, not to... thing that I am now. And so I just really grew up in a musical environment. My dad and everybody in my family are musicians. And even goes back to my grandpa and my great grandpas. They were like choir directors. And I have a couple of uncles who are actors. And so it's just kind of in my blood.
Excellent.
So, yeah.
Well, when did you start, I guess, you obviously knew that you wanted to be in music. How did that manifest itself when you were young? Did you participate in choir? Were you a band geek?
Yes, I was both. I got into, I think the first thing I did, obviously I did sing in church. I mean, that's kind of where I learned to sing. I mainly learned to sing at home with my father. He's a really good musician, taught me everything from how to harmonize to how to play the guitar and everything. But I got into singing at church, doing plays, and then I did, when I got into elementary school, we had a little chorus, which was kind of like a choir. It was really fun. And then when I got into junior high and high school, I did choir nonstop. And then I had a little bit of room in my schedule the first couple of years for band. So I played the drums, which was really fun. I was the only girl. So that was fun. And then I got into drama as well. So, and then by the time I got into my later years in high school, we were like a state championship choir. It reminds me a lot of the Glee Club on Glee.
Oh, yeah?
because we were like a little jazz group, and we were like the best. And I mean, not to toot our horn, but we were like the first in state for several years. So it was a great environment for me to learn in.
Oh, very cool. Very cool.
Yeah.
Well, I have to mention at this point, you do have a YouTube channel. And yeah, it's up there that I actually was able to see some of your performances, bluegrass, in fact. And for, again, for full disclosure, I am a I'm a bluegrass geek. A few close personal friends know this. First time I'm sharing this with the outside world, I guess. And you actually were playing one of the songs from my absolute favorite bluegrass performers, Alison Krauss.
What was that?
Now that you put me on the spot, I'm not gonna remember. Oh, Corinne.
Well, it was an Alison Krauss song. We do a lot of all.
Yeah, yeah. It was. I have to look that up. Editor's note. Okay. Yeah, it was editor's note. Go ahead and dub.
If you remember it later, you get back to me on that one.
I will definitely. Yeah, I'm gonna have to.
But yeah, my family has a little band that we do. It's bluegrass gospel music, and my dad is just like you. He's kind of obsessed with bluegrass. It's kind of annoying at a certain point, because he like stops everything and makes us like watch anything with bluegrass that's on TV, and then he like will call me from his house and be like, turn it on, oh my gosh, this channel has this people singing that I don't even know of. So but yeah, he kind of like makes us do it, which is kind of fun. I mean, that's how I learned to harmonize, really, was the bluegrass music.
Awesome.
But yeah, we have a family band, we do bluegrass.
Now, are you still is that band still active?
Yeah, we mainly just do whatever people want us to do, whatever they want us to do. So we'll get called to do like the Tacoma Rescue Mission, for example, is having a big banquet, I think next month, and we're gonna play that, and then we do some songs at church still. We do things like in the community, just little events. So nothing big, it's just for fun.
Oh, that's awesome. I think I found it. Actually, it was a cover they did. There Is a Reason.
Yeah, I think I just posted that one.
Yeah. Yeah, 1 week ago. Yep, yep.
Yeah, my sister's singing on that one.
Very cool.
It's good.
Awesome. Yeah, so I will make sure I post a link on the webpage back to that. Jody has some miscellaneous videos on her channel as well, I recommend. There is, I'll just leave it at that. There's some fun ones up there. Now, speaking of your YouTube channel, you have been posting some works in progress. Would that be a fair statement? Yeah. Some of your new songs on your upcoming album?
Yeah, I actually don't know how many songs are on YouTube for my upcoming album. I kind of just have this weird thing where I really like sharing with people what I'm working on. So I've been doing it more on Facebook, but I used to do it a lot on YouTube. Just kind of, oh, I threw this together this morning, what do you guys think? And it'll be like a verse and a chorus of a song.
Yeah.
And then people give me feedback, which actually really helps me decide, oh, I should take this to the next level and make it a full song or not. But there are a lot of like half songs on there that I have started to write. But a couple of them actually turned into full songs, which is good.
Yeah, there's a couple songs we're going to play during this interview. I'm going to post edit them in here. Mm-hmm. And I think at least one or two of those were, a hook or a chorus, mm-hmm, at some point either on Facebook or YouTube channel before that. That's how, I mean, they seemed very familiar, and that's probably why.
I think my biggest presence is on Facebook. I pretty much post everything to Facebook. So if you guys need to be in touch with something I'm doing, just get on my Facebook or my website.
And and if you look below this link on the audio here, we'll also have the links to her Facebook and Twitter as well as her new updated website. And I guess that's another question. So what's with the new with the updated website? Is that in support? Is this an integrated marketing campaign with the forthcoming album, or is this just time to update the website?
This is all me. This is me just feeling like I want a more professional website. So I just kind of went through the other day. I literally got up, went to my computer, and I think I pretty much just did that all day. And I don't even know what I was doing. I was on my website all day. And then I was also looking for places to get posters done. So I just really needed a new look for my website. It didn't seem like it was working very well, so I redid it. And then today when I looked on my iPad, it looked super weird, so I don't know what's going on my iPad, but like on the real computer, it works really well, so I don't know.
All right. We'll have to talk offline. I'm a computer programmer and web geek, so I might be able to help, maybe.
Oh, okay, cool.
We'll see. But no, it looks good. Like I said, I've taken a look at it. Again, we'll have links on the actual webpage here for it. I have to admit.
I just wanted to add real quick. I'm doing a news feed on my website.
Oh, excellent.
And I'm trying to update it daily. So if you guys want to keep up with the happenings, go to that. And I will try my hardest to keep you updated with the album and everything that's going on.
Awesome. Well, that being said, with your album news, do you or are you planning a tour or any concerts for your solo album anytime soon?
Well, actually, I'm just working on the album because it's such a huge task. It takes up most of my days trying to just figure everybody's schedules out, when people can record and what's going on. So I really want to at least have an album release party, but I'm not even in the realm of thinking about that right now. I'm trying to get the album out by June, so I'm looking at getting, you know, the album cover done. I'm looking at all these other things. So, but when it comes out, I should have a show ready, probably in Seattle. And then I would love to be able to take it on the road. I have a couple show offers in San Francisco, San Diego. So I may just do a little West Coast tour. I don't know what my schedule will look like. So we'll see. But I would love to tour.
Okay. We'll definitely stay posted on that. Excellent.
Yeah.
Very cool. So in addition to your music geekness, we're gonna turn and I get to ask all my guests this following question, and mm-hmm. it's not too difficult, I don't think. Additionally to your music geekness, what other thing or things do you geek out about? What are your other passions? The things that you either secretly or your friends and family you're known well to get excited about and spend the wee hours on.
Well, everybody knows I am a huge social media whore. Like, everybody makes fun of me. So I guess just anything involving social media, networking. I love designing my website. I'm very OCD, so I'm super meticulous about how everything looks. I'm constantly going in and out of that, trying to fix things, perfecting things. But another thing is, I'm really into makeup, which is kind of stupid because nobody cares about makeup except for me, apparently. But I'm super into photography and makeup. I used to do makeup before I did singing, or before I was a professional singer, I guess. So I really like to do videos like on YouTube. I haven't done a lot of them, but the ones I have done have several thousands of hits. So I'm into that and just photography in general. Chris gets super annoyed at how many pictures I'm taking all the time, and ever since anybody's ever known me, I've had a camera attached to my hip, like even back when they were like disposable, you know. I have thousands of pictures at my house, so I just love anything photography related in general.
Oh, very cool.
That's how kind of makeup fits in there too. And actually, makeup's been a huge tool with Abney Park. I mean, I've been able to do all my own photo shoot makeup, all my own stage makeup, and help Christina as well. So it's kind of fun. We have our little ritual we do before every show.
That's awesome. Okay, yeah. I'm going to use this as a natural segue here. The milk incident.
Oh man, I feel like so many people know about the milk incident that weren't even there. So I'm surprised that you were there and you didn't know.
I may be playing dumb for some of us who don't know. Mm-hmm. I may have seen one or two tweets, but go ahead and tell us in your own words. What is this milk incident of which you speak?
All right. So the first year of World Steam Expo, which was, I think, like 3 years ago now, this is the story. This is what happened. This is not the way anybody else tells it but me, because I was the only one that – okay, never mind.
This is the official version, the final version.
Yes, this is the real version, guys.
All right.
I was in the green room going back to my room. It was late at night, after a show, and I needed some cereal. Actually, I needed some milk for some cereal that I had in my room. So they were like, oh, here's a half gallon of milk. So I took the half gallon of milk, and we were going to go up to the room. Well, we had this huge line of people following us around. So we were like, we were starting to have fun. We were putting the milk jug like on top of statues and all this funny stuff. And then milk started to become like this thing. Well, we did not go up to our room. We went to a dance party at, in one of the, like, the huge ballrooms. And I had milk still in my hand. And everybody just kind of looked at me weird. So what I did was I stuck the milk in the middle of the dance floor. And there wasn't a lot of people in this room. There was like maybe 15 people. And then next thing I know, there's like 50 people dancing around this jug of milk in the middle of the floor. And then people start like doing flips over the milk and like dancing derby with the milk and just getting up on that milk. And it just became this like retarded thing. So people start throwing the milk around. And then, and so then the next year, actually after we did this, we went up to the room and did got milk pictures with Robert like laying down on all sexy on the bed. It was funny. And so then last year we had this other gallon of milk, but it wasn't in a plastic container. It was in a paper container. Well, it had been sitting out for 3 days.
Oh.
We decided to bring the milk, because it was tradition, down to the dance area. This is where it gets weird. The milk got danced around because everybody knew what the deal was with the milk. So they were passing it around, throwing it. Eventually, a little drop of some milk started falling out of the milk carton. And then we were like, okay, now there's a definite puddle of milk in the middle of this dance floor, and it's sour. So we all left. There was this huge group of people that just left to go sacrifice the milk into the garbage can. The next thing you know, everybody's bringing the garbage can into the center of the dance floor, and there's a guy who was in a towel all night for some odd reason, laying over the garbage can, and people are like pouring milk over his body, the sour milk, into the garbage. And then it got really weird. I don't know. It's just... Now it's just a thing, and this poor guy, I guess, had to do, like, a road trip with his friends, and they were super mad. He smelled like milk, sour milk. So, we're getting t-shirts made this year that have that little scenario on it. I'm really excited.
For some reason, I'm thinking that I need to come up with a public service announcement about dance parties and milk. I don't know why.
Don't do this at home, kid.
Do not try this at home. Oh, wow. Okay.
Sour milk.
Well, I'll be honest with you. I did not know the entire and true story behind the milk. Now I do.
It's kind of a long story, but it's fun to tell.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Next question, please.
Next question. Yeah. Changing subjects. Well, let's talk about photography for a little bit. I'm a photography geek too. I've self-published 2 books on photography. I've been doing it since darkroom days, as I like to say.
We have a lot in common then. I mean, bluegrass, photography, food.
Yes, exactly. Food, right there. That's such
food is another thing. That's I love food.
We'll get there. We'll talk about that in a second.
Okay.
But
okay,
photography. Here's the thing. So my interest in photography. I literally always. I'm an Nikon guy. I'm not a bigot. I have friends that are Canon people. It just happens to be the camera that I bought because most of the people I knew I could bum Nikon lenses off of. That's why I went to Nikon. All right. But love my Nikon. I got a D90. I literally don't have it more than a few feet away from me at all times. My question for you about photography is, what type of photography do you really like to?
Well, I've looked into getting like an actual camera, like what you're talking about.
Sure.
Every time I do that though, I'm like, okay, I know myself. I've broken what seems like hundreds of digital cameras. I will break this thing. So I have not purchased one of those yet. But I really, really like the editing. So I mainly just right now take pictures with my iPhone. I've had several different types of digital cameras, but I'm loving the iPhone and the
The
Instagram app is pretty awesome.
It is. You can do some. There is some incredible photography and actually some videography coming out of iPhones these days, so no doubt.
I don't get how they're doing it, but it's awesome. Like, I have this photographer friend on there. I have several photographer friends on Instagram, and they're like, oh, well, I opened the picture with Camera Plus, and then I did this with this app, and then I did this with that app, and then I put it into Instagram. And so I'm like, oh, I get it. So it's not just Instagram, but you can get really creative these days with these camera phones.
No, you can. There's no doubt. And I think it was earlier last year or sometime summer that the number of a random geek factor, the cameras and camera phones outsold regular digital and film cameras for the first time. So people, I'm going to try and restate this. Camera phones, basically phones with cameras in them, outsold all other types of cameras combined last year.
Wow. See, yeah, and that's why I don't even want to buy a digital camera anymore. I mean, we have these iPhones that are only going to get better.
Absolutely. Yeah, I mean, again, I don't blame anybody who is just using their camera phone. I'm
drinking the Kool-Aid for sure. I mean,
yeah.
Ever since I got my iPhone, it's been attached to my hip.
There are some awesome pictures out there. Yeah. The comment I was going to make about my lacking in my photography skills, I cannot take pictures of people. I'm sharing that with everyone here listening to me. I have tried. I have a very good friend of mine who I'm going to interview for the show coming up by the name of Eric Merrill. Eric, if you're listening to the show, you already committed. Don't forget that. He's an excellent photographer. One of his pictures, he did a picture of a day for a year. I was honored that one of those pictures was of me. I wish I looked thinner in the picture, but it was a good picture nonetheless. But yeah, portraiture is something that I have difficulty with. And I was wondering, based on your makeup skill and your background, your training, if you find taking pictures of people easier or not.
It's hard with people because people are picky about what they want to look like. Sometimes I'll think that it looks amazing and they'll just be like, oh, no. But I don't know. I don't find myself taking pictures of people very often. I kind of find myself taking pictures of odd things. Like, if you look through any of my photos in my Instagram, it's like all these random things that I'm doing throughout the day that aren't really people-oriented. Like my yams. I just took a picture of my yams tonight.
Yep.
I'm cooking for dinner. But, you know, when I think back, I think it's, I really like just being part of the process. I don't really necessarily like taking pictures of people, but I love being there and like setting the scene and like helping people with their makeup and hair and just, I don't know. I just have that creative mind, like, oh, try this, try that. And I really should just be the director of the shoot. Really. So
something.
And I've done tons of photo shoots with models because I used to do makeup. So
cool.
Yeah.
Well, I was going to say, given the variety of talents that you've already expressed, I have no doubt that that will be something in your future that you will see from you. Back to music. The album will be out some point.
In June, actually. I'm trying really hard to push for June. Okay.
I will remind everyone that she's working hard and not to bug her, but stay tuned. Subscribe to her news feed from her website and keep posted. Now, the other thing I mentioned before the interview, there was a little, as these things go, there was a little chit-chat before the actual interview gets started and levels are set and connections and Skype questions are answered. I mentioned that you've done probably more interviews than I have. In addition to your musical career, your makeup career, your photography, your cooking, you are involved in a interviewer in a program in Seattle. Is that correct?
Yes, I am. I just stopped doing it as of like last week.
Oh, okay.
Music has been taking off, but you can still see a lot of the episodes on my YouTube channel. It was a public program, and it was on channel KTBW, which is the Christian channel, but it's not a Christian show. It's just a local show, just me interviewing local people about different causes. So last week it was, the last episode I just put up was about human trafficking, which is something that I'm pretty passionate about. It's really fun, and I've learned a lot about interviewing and how to be interviewed, and, you know, when someone's talking, not to say, you know, things like that, and it's really helped me in my interviewing skills, just being interviewed.
Not to add any humor to the very serious subject you were just mentioning, but I just experienced a coughing fit off mic, and hopefully that will be edited out. I apologize. No, I have watched a couple of your shows, and again, we'll have a link to the YouTube channel. We're getting close to the end of the interview here, and going through my notes here. What I wanted to do now, there are three songs that we have the privilege, I have the privilege of playing during this interview. And what I wanted Jody here to do was to talk a little about either the story, inspiration, or an anecdote during the making of a couple of these. And I know we've talked about the some of the collaborative process you've gotten with your fans by posting these on Facebook. But Out of the Rain is probably my favorite of the three. And I guess my first question is, what's sort of the story behind the song or the inspiration or the story behind the inspiration for the song?
You know, I was trying to think about it because I wrote that song like 7 years ago, and it's kind of weird how timeless a song can be when it's just a good song, you know? But I wrote that song, I believe it was about my mom, because I know I was living with her at the time, and I think she was going through a really hard time and with a divorce, and I had always seen her as this really strong person, and it just broke my heart to see her so sad and weak at that moment. So I wrote it about her, and ever since then, I've kind of been on the back burner, and the other day, I just was playing around with it, and I'm like, you know, this song still sounds pretty good. I'm going to put it on the album, so I shared it on Facebook. Everybody loved it, and that kind of gave me the green light to do that.
Well, I was going to say it is an incredible song. It is my favorite thus far. I'm looking forward to, obviously, the other tracks, but that one definitely hit something, hit home with me. Waiting. Yeah. What can you tell me about Waiting?
Waiting is a song about getting your hopes up about finding the one that you are supposed to be with. And then when you are with them, you slowly go through that process. Well, am I still having fun with this person? Am I still in love with this person? And kind of halfway through the song, I realize I'm not having fun anymore. And then towards the end, I'm like, but I still love you and I want to be with you and we'll get through this. So it's kind of a ray of hope for people that are struggling in their relationships or their marriages. It's kind of weird. The song just came to me one day. I didn't even think about the lyrics. I just started singing it. That's kind of how a lot of my songs come. They'll just come into my head and I'll literally start singing the words and I'll go, okay, and then run to the keyboard and figure it out. And that song actually ended up getting written really quickly and uploaded that same day. So, and actually that song's going to feature Erica Unwoman, the cellist.
Oh, awesome. Yeah, I saw a post on that today. Yeah. And actually, I think that's one of them that I remember. You posted several updates, if I remember correctly, in the same day as you were working mm-hmm. on that song, getting feedback from your fans, which was actually fun to watch.
Yeah, it's a fun process getting feedback from fans. Everybody, some people frown on me for that. Just, oh, why would you let them hear it before it's finished? And I'm just like, well, that's just honest. That's who I am. And this is me. And so I'm not going to let you guys hear only finished products. I don't know. I don't really care about stuff like that. So
it's interesting. Like I said, I can only speak as a single fan. That's as far as you can take my, the weight of my feedback here, but as a fan, it's absolutely fascinating. Not being a songwriter, not being that musically inclined. Mm-hmm. It was absolutely amazing to watch that process unfold. And actually what I was, I guess most amazed about it is how fast you turned around and the song unfolded basically before our eyes. I was absolutely flabbergasted. So,
wait, didn't I post? I wonder if we're talking about the same song, because I know one song I posted like a verse and everybody loved it, and then they're like, there should be a chorus, and then
yes, that's the one. 10 minutes
later, I posted the chorus, but that's actually a different song that's going to be on the album.
Whoops, I apologize to our.
Fine. Yeah. That one's called "Somebody Make Up Their Mind."
Okay. Yeah, that was crazy. That was true. I mean, as a fan to see the creative process, it was like I said, I was flabbergasted. It was something else.
I should do
else.
That more often. Just post a verse and see how quickly I can post the chorus.
Well, not to be in competition with yourself, but to see the fans' reactions would be interesting. It was impressive. Like I said, not there should be any sort of metrics behind this or statistics how fast you should come up with the chorus, but it was just fascinating to see inside the creative process. It really was. And again, the quality, again, I've said this before, I'm biased in my shows. I interview people I'm a fan of. So awesome stuff.
said and done, am I still having fun? Are you? When all is said and done, I'm not having fun with you.
The last one is What About Me?
Yeah. So What About Me, I wrote, I don't know, 5 or 6 years ago. I don't know. That one's an oldie too. But that one seems to be the most put together song that I have. It's the most rehearsed. So when I play it live, it just, people light up. They like it. It has my dad on it, which is awesome. He's playing bass on that one.
Awesome.
He's an amazing bass player. But who else does that have? That has Axel on it. Axel Wilkinson. He's from Port Angeles. He's a fan of Abney Park. He's been helping me with this album. He's been doing amazing. So he's also on Out of the Rain. He's doing all the drumming on that one.
No, awesome.
Yeah.
Very cool. Very, very, very cool.
Thank you.
Oh, and just to let everybody know, these songs are not finished at all, so don't think that this is studio quality here. I haven't even added harmonies to Out of the Rain, and Waiting still has like three other musicians to go, so.
Wow. Yeah. Wow. Okay. I say this ahead of time before anyone listens to them. They sound incredible, and evidently they're only going to sound more incredible. So lots to look forward to between now and June. Wow. Jody, thank you. Thank you very, very much for agreeing to come on the show. I have to admit to everybody, this has been a little over 4 months in work. Jody's been incredibly busy.
I was in Europe when we were trying to figure this out.
I'm totally throwing this on you. It's actually been me. I've been busy, and it's been me who's been rescheduling with Jody. She has been incredible and has been very available, and it's my fault. So,
it's true.
But no, she has.
I'm so happy we got this done. I think I emailed you this week. I'm like, let's get this show on the
She
road.
Did. And by the way, I posted something, and then like three of my friends private messaged me and said things I will not repeat on my show. But yes, I was highly motivated to get it done. So thank you very much. I look forward to seeing you both with Avenue Park upcoming, hopefully sometime this spring and summer. And probably myself will not get out to the West Coast to watch you solo, but definitely look forward to the album. Now, since I know it's still a work in progress and there's many, 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 many details to be worked out before it's actually out, do you have any idea or estimates as far as the number of tracks and where in the future we should look to purchase this?
Well, I'm hopefully going to get them pressed and on my website.
Okay.
It should be out in June, hopefully, crossing my fingers. I'm also going to try to put the tracks immediately up on, I don't know, either Bandcamp or something like that, just for download, maybe just on my website. I haven't figured that out yet. And what was the other question?
I think I asked a number of tracks and where. Yep.
I don't have a title for the album. I'm going between two different titles. For tracks, I have like 14 songs, so I'm trying to narrow that down. I'm hoping to get a solid 12 songs.
Awesome. Maybe.
Yeah.
Awesome. Well, lots to look forward to. Again, Jody, the very talented Jody Ellen. Everyone, thank you very much, Jody. Thank you for coming on the show, and we'll stay tuned. And good luck to you in the future.
Thank you so much for having me.
Oh, my pleasure. Thank you.
Uh-huh. Thanks.